Good morning. My name is John Kiker, and it's so nice to see so many faces here on the Sunday after Easter. Our scripture this morning comes from Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Now hear the word of God. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I wonder if any of you have ever played dominoes. I don't mean like when you connect them up kind of thing, but like, you know, when you stand them up on end and top them along. You've done that? Yeah, I did that growing up too. Today starts the domino effect. And as we get into the series, we'll talk more about what we mean by the domino effect. And for this next 6 weeks, we'll be talking about the domino effect that can happen in the book of Colossians. My name's Keith Harcombe, and I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And I'm really excited to dive into this book, Colossians, that Paul wrote for us to engage in. But today's a kind of a special day. At this church, we have some values. Two of those key values are excellence in Christian development and a focus on the future, a continuous focus on the future. As some of you know, this was my first church in 2003 that I came to. And one of the first things I did when I got here was to work and volunteer in youth ministry, and then you got me. And one of the people in that youth ministry was a young man called John Michael Richardson. He was in the youth group, involved in the youth group, involved in ministry. And not long after that, before he went to this weird college called University of Florida, Grinnell's, after he went there, he came back to me. I was a youth pastor over at Eastlake Methodist Church, where the big bell tower was. And whilst I was there, a young man came to me when I said, I would love for you to intern with us. And that was John Michael. And John Michael was discerning his call to ministry and wondering whether he was going to go into ministry or to take pictures. He takes good pictures, but he was still wondering whether to go into ministry or to go into photography and those kind of things. That was his major, as you'll hear more about. Not long after that, he also got involved in youth ministry, stayed in youth ministry, went on to another youth ministry job, and is now the executive director of discipleship at Bay Hope, my previous church. And I am just bubbling over. He's been a friend to me. He's been a mentee to me. We've been in a relationship, done ministry together for the last 6 years or so. And he's going to bring the message today. And he's going to epitomize some of the things that we value here. So please welcome to the platform, John Michael Richardson.
Amen. Thank you so much. Woo. It is good to be home. We often tell our kids, we work with a lot of counselors and say a secure attachment is a good thing. When a kid can grow up with a secure attachment, they will always come home. And home can be a place where they are and will be. And it is so good to be home today. It was so good to walk around church and have memories from the last 20 years flood my brain. I told Chris, they took me upstairs to the tech booth, and that was the first time I've ever been up there with permission. I wandered this place for so many years. I was like, wow, this feels good to actually be allowed to be up here right now, and no one's going to get me in trouble for this. It's really cool. But it's very, very cool to be back here. I was here as a high school student and then went to college, as Pastor Keith said. I now have been married for 14 years. I have two beautiful kids, Lily Grace, who's almost 8, and Cooper, who is almost 2. And it is a joy and a pleasure to be with you all today. We often have a routine at my household for bedtime that includes prayer. And so we try to sit down, and I learn a lot about prayer from our little ones. Whenever you pray with an 8-year-old or attempt to do it with a 2-year-old, you learn a lot about who God is and what he will hear from you. And so a little while back, I was praying with our 8-year-old, or almost 8-year-old, and we were praying, and as we started, she went, "Dear God," I said, "Wait, pause real quick. What are you doing?" She says, "I'm praying." Okay, back to prayer. "Dear God," and starts speaking into her shirt over and over and starts praying like that. I said, "Sweetheart, pause. Love that you're praying. Love the prayer. Why are you doing that?" And she goes, "Well, Jesus is in my heart, so I want to pray to him." And what can we learn about prayer from an almost 8-year-old? So before we dive in today, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we know that you are here. We know that you are in our midst right now. Would you be with our words today? We thank you for the worship and movement of your Holy Spirit here and now. Would you challenge our thoughts, challenge our actions, open our minds to you, and in all things may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as Pastor Keith said, we are heading into a series called The Domino Effect. And as Mr. Keiter just read, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20 today. And my encouragement would be is that this could be a passage we will read for the next 50 days of this series. This is going to be the standout passage that reminds us who we are and what we're talking about for this entire post-Easter series. And so, as Pastor Keith said, I've never really played dominoes. I do not have the patience for a moment to stack something just to knock it over. That's never been appealing to my personality type, but I was fascinated to read about what this domino effect actually is, because it turns out that the energy to knock over a domino is almost nothing compared to the energy that's created by that transaction to fall into the next one. So for instance, if you had a 2-inch domino, like we will get today at the end of service, we have a 2-inch domino, it can fall with the force to knock over a 4.5-inch domino. And the next one it can knock over can be a foot tall. And then we have some stats here. Number 3 is a foot tall. Number 4 is 2.5 feet tall. Number 23 in that sequence would be as tall as the Eiffel Tower. Number 31 would be as tall as Mount Everest. And number 57 would be as tall as the moon. 57 movements later, the world can change based on what the Holy Spirit can do. And that's what we're talking about today, is that's how Jesus' ministry began. We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that he started with a small group, and then it moved to a town, and then a region, and then to an empire, and then the globe. And the world was never the same. And it's such an honor to be here today to talk to this specific congregation, because I stand here as someone whose dominoes were knocked over here in this building. I see some of them in the room. And some have gone on to glory. And my life is never the same because of what happens here. I think of Mr. Cooper. And even in my mid-30s, I can't bear to say their first name, so it'll be Mr. Dodge and Mr. Reeser. And Lynn, and Carl, and Pastor Keith. people who took an opportunity to be close to my heart, and now I am never the same. And so that's what we're reading about today in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. So if you would, I'm going to read it again one more time because I think it's so central to what we need to understand today, and you have it in your bulletin, which is so, so cool. And so I'm going to read it one more time for us. As Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, and he says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything. In the heavenly realms and here on earth, he made things we can see and things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, for God, in all of his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself, and he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Amen. You see, Paul has such an interesting start to this poem. We believe, looking back at this section of scripture, this actually would have been a poem for sure, maybe even sung to music, hymn style, which makes it so, so beautiful to think about the church gathered together, just like we just did, singing these verses together. And he opens in chapter 1, just a little bit before this, by praising the church for their faith and their hope and their love. What a joy that would be to have someone praise your faith and your hope and your love. And this is not a church that Paul even planted. This is a church plant of a church plant. And Epaphras started this church, and Paul is writing to them saying, great job, I love what you're doing. Now here are some thoughts. Here are some things that we could do in this day and age to challenge the status quo, challenge the world around you, and take those next steps in faith. And I love the movement we see in this passage, because Paul starts out with saying, hey, just FYI, God is supreme over everything. Let's just set the baseline there. He is supreme. This fancy seminary word for this is preeminence. He uses preeminent. He is over everything and all things. And this is good to know, because the prevailing idea of the day was being challenged by a group called the Gnostics. And the Gnostics were in Colossae, and they were challenging what was happening with this Jesus movement. And their thoughts said that the Creator God was not the same God that you and I worship today. That he was so far removed from the perfect God that he was not even an image of who God is. And this passage combats that right from the get-go, saying, no, no, no. Jesus was the image of God, the icon of who God is, above everything. He is not this separate piece. He is not a guy. He is the person in all of creation. So he starts out there by saying, just let's start there and work back. Next, he moves into the creation narrative. And then he says, just FYI, while we're at it, he's also the head of the church, which is an awesome thought to think of. We have 2,000 years of Christian hindsight now, but looking back, the idea of church was a brand new thing. These are groups of believers scattered about a region, and so he's explaining to them that what we want you to do is you are a part of the organism that God is working in for the entire transformation of the world. And in that, God is the head. Jesus Christ is the center of all of then creation. So he starts with himself. Who is God? Then he moves into the next phase of overall creation, then into the church. And then as a wrap-up statement, I love this part, and he's just head of everything else. When in doubt, if you have any other questions, he is head of himself, he is head of creation, the church, and all things. And it's a powerful witness to the waiting world that God is and through all things. This is not just another thought or philosophy. This is the God. Because you see, Paul understood the idea of the ripple effect. The same idea we talked about today in the domino effect, where one domino knocks in the others, there's a backside to it as well. In the early colonial days of the British Empire, when they went to India, the British forces walked in and were terrified of king cobra snakes. They'd never seen them before, and one of them gone from especially a town called New Delhi. And they put a bounty on king cobra snakes. So all of a sudden, people would bring in king cobra snakes, and they were getting rid of the population. Well, slowly, the people of New Delhi realized that they were running out of snakes. So they started to breed them quietly and bring them into the British Empire and say, thank you so much for your money, and go back and breed more. Well, once the occupying forces realized what was happening, they ended the bounty program. And so all these king cobra farms now had snakes with nothing to do, so they released them back out into the population. And when the British left New Delhi, there was twice the population of king cobra snakes than there had been when they arrived. The ripple effect has consequences, sometimes far beyond what we can see. And it reminds me, especially going back to my photojournalism days, as Pastor Keith mentioned, I love to take photos. I love a good photo in a frame. I love when you can find the perfect frame to the perfect photo, and it all complements itself together. We've all been to those houses where the frames don't match the photos, and it drives me nuts. Like, a couple more dollars, and you can buy a really cool frame for that photo. But he mentions in the book, especially in chapter 1, about whether we are in Colossae or in Christ. And it's just like a photo in a good frame. How do we frame, how do we see our relationship to God? Is God, and especially in this term, we use the term Christocentric, having Christ at the center of all we do, is Christ the center of our frame, or is he just part of the photo? Does he frame the entire discussion of who we are, or is he just a piece of what happens? Or are there other things that are framing our walk with Christ? Beyond just the ideas of this world, is there a person or a thing or an idea that's framing who we are in Jesus Christ? In Colossae or in Christ? I know for me, often I struggle with that idea because I can have some narcissism in my life and I can think that what I do is best. And life often shows me how untrue that is. But I wonder what that would look like for us. I know the check for me, when I'm starting to think about my ideas are the best ideas, I take the scripture, as Pastor Keith did last week on Easter, and I replace my name in place of God, and it quickly returns me back to earth. For example, if we were to do that in chapter 1, verses 15 here, I would say, John Michael existed before everything else. Ugh. John Michael is the head of the church. No one needs that. John Michael is the beginning and supreme over all creation. No, no, and no. God has called us to something so much greater than that. He has put himself at the center, but we know quickly that nature abhors a vacuum, that when there's a gap in understanding or reasoning, that quickly it is filled by something. And so we have to be intentional about what that looks like. Richard Mulholland, in his famous book, An Invitation to a Journey, describes discipleship as being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. That as we go through our spiritual walk, it is not a one-time moment of transformation, but is a consistent journey of change that God is constantly transforming who we are and what we do. And that requires intentionality. And that's why if we put Christ at the center of who we are, especially going back to what we think here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, is Christ at the center of who we are? And if he is, that's a good thing for us, because proximity matters. If Christ is at the center of who we are, that means he is at the very depth of proximity to our hearts and our minds' affection. And again, in this room today and in this building, I feel the people who were in proximity to who I was. Growing up in high school, there's all kinds of experiences you go through, and knowing I could come here and experience God transformed my life. And amazingly, and ironically for what I'm doing right now, I don't remember a lot of the sermons. I don't. I was here every week. I listened attentively. I don't. I remember the people. I remember the trips. I remember the experiences with God. I remember those who were, again, in proximity to my life. And that is what God is calling us to. And we have an opportunity in this proximity idea here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. A while back, we have a program for at-risk kids at Bay Hope Church that works in all the juvenile justice programs across the state of Florida, and we're in every foster care group home in the Hillsborough-Pastro-Pinellas County area. It's an incredible ministry that ministers to teenage girls in the foster care group homes. Because we know by the statistics that once a teenager reaches a foster care group home, the odds of adoption are almost nothing. They will eventually just age out of the program and go on to life. And so we saw an opportunity, and we followed our ideas of John 1:5, where a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, being Jesus Christ of the light in that darkness, will never be extinguished. And so there was a program birthed out of that called Live Out Loud. That was for girls in the foster care group homes of, at that point, Pasto and Hillsborough County. 16 homes that would come to church every week, not during service. They would come in the evenings and have food and games and have people who love them be near. It's an amazing gift of God when you realize the opportunity to just be near someone and love them the way that Jesus would. And what we've seen in that is story after story after story of God moving in girls' lives to find hope. And there's actually going to be an opportunity here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church to do the same thing for girls in the Pinellas County group homes. There's going to be an incredible way to plug in and to be here and have a meal and time together. And you'll hear more about that. There's going to be an information session in May, and you'll hear more about that as it comes. But we had such a cool story as we were talking to the girls in the Pinellas County homes here. One of our ladies, Miss Cheryl, was in the home and was talking to them and saying, you got to hear about this program called Live Out Loud. And as she was talking, one of the girls raised her hands and said, I need to stop you right there. We have to do this. And Cheryl goes, great. What do you mean? She goes, I was in a home in Hillsborough County, and this was the highlight of our week. We wouldn't have missed this for anything. We need to do this. And that's the opportunity that's coming to Palm Harbor United Methodist Church in the summer of this year, is those same girls, and that one sweet girl is coming to this campus to be loved by you all. What an incredible opportunity to be in proximity. And I want to read you a letter that she wrote. If I can, I will get through it, I promise. I've practiced this a lot. So she says, to all the LOL participants and volunteers, I just want to thank you for all that you have done for me. While being here, I found a place where I feel at home. Foster care. I found a place where I feel at home. I feel accepted. I was scared. I thought nobody liked me. I felt like people were always judging me, but they never were. The staff here are great. They accept me for who I am. Miss Jenny and Miss Tim are my favorite people. I am so grateful that I have this in my life. People who care about me. And I am worthy of living the life that I have. You all have helped me realize my true colors. And even though you may be grieving, never give up. One thing that I learned is that if you give up, you're not just hurting yourself, you're hurting the ones that love you. And if you don't think that you are loved, just know that you are loved by me. What an opportunity we have here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. The same love that you showed a young man in the early 2000s, that I had an abundance of people around me who loved me well, and what a blessing that was. We have the opportunity here now to do the same thing, that you might be the only person to ever show this person love. and not in a scary way, and not in a way that has to know every Bible verse ever written. You have to know a couple. They sound like John 3:16. They sound like John 3:17. Where because God loved us, he sent his son. And it says in here, in the chapter we just read, that God reconciled to himself. We don't have to do the reconciling, thank goodness. God does the reconciling to himself for you and for me. And so we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to love girls just like this. And that is one way we can have proximity in Christ. We can have proximity to those around us and those we can know and care about. I'm reminded of a mission trip here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church when I was a senior in high school. Pastor Keith was there, and nothing went right. Everything along the way, logistically, we were safe, but everything along the way, something happened. A bus had this, a screw fell out there, a window broke there. That was our fault. But as we went along in that mission trip, it didn't matter where we were staying, didn't matter how well we knew each other, we were in proximity to Christ together. And 20 years later, 20 years of colleges and all those good things, the core group still meets together every Sunday night for dinner. The core group that was here in this church went their separate ways for a while, and now we all came back after college. And at first there were four of us, and then we got married, and there were eight of us, and then babies came along, and now there's a house full of people in proximity together that is a legacy of the domino effect here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. Through graduations, through death, through birth, through all the major events of life, it started here. And actually, I can point to the places on stage. It started like one of us was there, one of us was there, one of us was playing keyboard, one of us was up in the sound booth, all because of proximity. And that domino effect, that if the dominoes are close enough together, that one tips into the next. And so regardless of where you are in your faith journey, regardless of what that next step might be, could I encourage us to follow that domino? To just say, Holy Spirit, come, and have that small amount of force that moves into something else. And whether that's at Live Out Loud here at Palm Harbor, whether that is meeting with someone for coffee, whether that is visiting a friend or writing a letter that you haven't before, can I encourage us this week, as we read through Colossians 15 through 20, would we be challenged in the holy love of Christ? Because I can speak from personal experience that my life is forever changed based on the domino effect that happened here. And so as we sing our last hymn of the day, I wanted us to hear these words before we sing them together. It's a familiar hymn called Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded, and still. Would you all pray with me? God, you are so good, and your mercy endures forever. Great is your faithfulness from generation to generation to generation. As Paul has reminded us today, you are supreme above all things. Your goodness knows no end. And we leave ourselves open now as the clay. Mold us and make us and form us continually into your image, the image of the holy God who is above all things. We give you that freedom now to be above our hearts as well. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.